following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, May 9th, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday program, and another beautiful day in Nebraska after a weird day yesterday. Anywhere from snowfall in the panhandle to warm and then cold. It was a weird day yesterday at a lot of the conference track meets and a little golf. We're going to be talking with Brian Munson of Big Red Report, Scout.com today, a little bit about the draft, what he thinks, Stanley Jean-Baptiste, some of the other Huskers that might go here today or tomorrow. We'll also talk where the Huskers are right now in recruiting and what's going on now in the offseason. We'll talk with Michigan State baseball coach Jake Boss Jr. The Huskers open a three-game series there tomorrow. It's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So that's all coming up on the program. And, Jimmy, I'll tell you what, I just, you know, it's Friday. The election is on Tuesday. The draft was pushed back. We talked about that a long time. I wish we could push the election back another couple of weeks because I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm all confused. I don't know who to vote for. I got my mailbox stuffed full of stuff. I'm watching TV ads. I'm listening to radio ads. I'm not even sure who's running for what. So if we could just, could we have another 2 weeks here for, would that be okay, push the election back?
I think that's what they're probably going to do. I think now that you've made that statement here on this radio show, I think that might be what they do.
Who could we petition for that? I mean, we got to ask the governor or do we got to go bigger?
No, I think they're going to have it Tuesday. I think you're stuck.
Okay,
I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't think you can petition that.
What should I write you in for?
Do not write me in for anything.
James W. Langan, that's what I'm writing
okay.
in. And I'm going to fill in the little oval.
What's the W for?
Winner.
Oh, James W.
James Winner Langan.
There
you kidding, man?
God, would that be something if they actually got enough votes that I actually got something and I'd have to try to say, whoa, I'm not going to probably come to any of these meetings.
Do we have enough time? We got today's show,
no,
back on Monday. So let's see how many votes Jimmy Langan
Let's talk
get.
About the draft. What do you think of what do you think of the NFL draft?
Hey, well, here's what okay. It had its excitement. Uh-huh. I didn't want Johnny Manziel at Dallas. I'm rooting for Johnny Manziel. I liked him in college. I voted for him for the Heisman
last year,
as you know. Cleveland, I hope he's successful, but it just seems to be a death trap. Anybody that goes there, it just seems like no chance. But, you know, that was kind of a couple of interesting picks that they got yesterday. I don't know why they traded down to 9 and then traded again to move up to 8, which made no sense, but whatever. So hopefully that whole Manziel thing is now done. We'll focus on some other things. Dallas has too much drama the way it is. They didn't need Manziel. They didn't address defense in the first round, but they got a pretty good player in the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Teddy Bridgewater almost didn't go yesterday. The Vikings trade with Seattle to get him. That way you don't have to worry about going through all the things that could possibly happen today because Seattle wasn't going to take Teddy Bridgewater. But that way you didn't have to mess with all day and somebody making a better deal. So the quarterbacks, for the most part, are off the board except for Derek Carr. He's the big guy that's left out there. So when Jadeveon Clowney, Houston, I think, I was on board there. I thought they had to take him all the way. If Bortles works out in Florida, they've already got a fan base for him at Jacksonville. That's cool. I don't follow the Bills close enough, Jimmy, but somebody has got to emerge to compete with the New England Patriots in that division. And Miami a couple of times stepped up. The Jets, you know, a few years ago when Rex Ryan took over, they did. But they never made it to the Super Bowl. They always made it to the championship game. I think the Bills are getting closer. This Watkins kid is special.
Right. You know, when I look at the pro football last year and thought the two biggest underachiever teams, the two teams that underachieved the most, and one of them was the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns had New England down like 10 points with like 50 seconds to go in a game. They had all kinds of games. They were the first team to lose to Jacksonville. You know, so the Cleveland Browns, actually, I think, are not a bad catch for him. I mean, you want to go someplace where they probably underachieved. The other place that I thought they underachieved was the Detroit Lions. I thought they were an underachieving team. The way it fell into place with the Chicago Bears having some injuries and the Green Bay Packers having some injuries, that thing was wide open for Detroit to take, you know, last year. So I was kind of interesting. So those are the two programs. If I was going to be a head coach and come in as a player, I think I could go up there, and even if we did, you know, had a bad year, we'd be the same as we were the year before. You know, so you're talking about places that underachieved and not overachieved. You know, if you went to an overachiever, things can really get bad for you.
I don't, it's just like a letter of intent in 5-star, 4-star, 3-star in college. Okay. You hear so much getting up to the draft that you are familiar with some things here. I guess I was a little surprised because I'd like to see the Lions do well. They've always seemed to have some Huskers on there. Sue's there now. But I was surprised. I didn't think they needed a tight end. They had so many tight ends. Now, maybe not an all-pro tight end, but they had at least, I believe, three different tight ends catch touchdown passes last year. So they had some depth at that position. So I was a little surprised that that's where they went. But you just look up and down there, and because I was at Lou Platt yesterday at the track meet, and it got over, you know, later, 6 o'clock, whatever it was, we got to hear about half of the draft on the radio, and then I got to watch the last half of the draft on TV as well after getting back here to the studios and doing some work last night. So it was kind of interesting because that way you heard a lot of different commentators. You heard the fans, and you got to see the fans, and I was surprised that the one guy, because of his name, Ha Ha Clinton Dix, really? That's what you named your kid? Really? But I thought this was supposed to be a top 10 guy. He slid all the way down to number 21 to the Packers, and so they've got to be happy with this guy.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, Doug, I think when you look at it, I know this is when I hired teachers, you know, you wanted to get good people if you could get them. I mean, that's when you wanted really good people, and you wanted people that, you know, had a lot of energy and they had empathy for kids. That's what you were looking for. But sometimes, you know, what you needed, you need a band teacher. You know, I mean, and hey, so you're trying to find one that has those qualities. Yeah. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is hey, just because a guy comes in and he's really great at teaching this, that's not what I need. So I know what you're saying about the tight end position is, hey, that might be of all the players and the most athletic people, that might be a really good thing. So evidently there might be a trade going on with the Detroit Lions where they're going to take this guy and they're going to make a trade someplace else. But it'll be interesting. You know, the Cleveland Browns, yesterday, like you said, I was sitting there going, I wonder what they're going to do here. I mean, they keep moving back and forth. I mean, they got scared. They got so scared. They had the 23rd selection, and they traded for 22. You know, can we have 22 right now? And they go, okay.
Well, they had 26.
Okay,
they
were 26, I'm sorry. Still. Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
but still.
Yeah, you know, you're going, whoa, you know, but they wanted that player. They wanted that guy. They didn't want to take the risk of losing him because, you know, I think probably when they had the fourth pick, they thought maybe we'll take this guy. And then all of a sudden they said, uh-oh, this could be too big of a risk.
If somebody else would pick him, it would be off our back then. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I guess the whole draft, what I was interested in was the Jaguars took the guy, you know, and their quarterback, they took Bortles so fast. that quick. That surprised me. They grabbed him, you know, that quick. But, you know, that's what they needed. They felt that they needed a quarterback, and they wanted somebody that maybe their fan base, because I don't understand exactly, you know, I'm not from Florida, so I don't know exactly how that works in Florida, because it seems to me you got Florida State, you got Florida, you got all these schools. Wow. But it's got to help their fan base, they thought, and that right now they're having a press conference with him right now. So,
well, and I like that, too. I mean, if you're in the top, whatever, you knew what you were doing coming to the draft last night. We were watching. I think I got back just in time to watch Dallas's pick. Uh-huh. And I said, you watch. This is going to go down to the wire. This is Dallas. Their whole time. Nobody's taking it down to the last 15 seconds. Dallas will. And, of course, they did. Jacksonville knew what they wanted. They went out, and they took care of business. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Do you have one NFL team that you root for, Jimmy? I don't know if I've ever asked.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our poll question for the weekend, were you pleased with your favorite NFL team's first-round selection? So Kansas City picked linebacker Dee Ford out of Auburn. And for Dallas, my favorite team, Zach Martin, guard Notre Dame. I will say, yes, I was pleased with my team selection because it wasn't Johnny Manziel. Were you pleased with what the Chiefs did?
I wanted the Chiefs to take Johnny Manziel.
And I think that's why the Browns traded up.
That's exactly
right. They got that far. The Chiefs were the last roadblock. They said, we better jump up because we know the Eagles aren't going to take a quarterback. So we'll trade with them. And
yeah, I think you're right. I think I don't know if we'll ever know. You know, I don't know if anybody will say that. It's kind of like, you know, you're thinking about asking this girl to the prom, and all of a sudden, just beforehand, somebody else grabs her. Well, I don't think you're going to tell your other day. God, you're really kind of lucky. I was going to take Denise. You might not want to share that information.
Our poll question yesterday was, how much of the NFL draft are you planning on watching? 44% said the first round. 33% said none of it. And a few votes for all of it in the first couple of days. Again, our Midtown Mark Cooler question, were you pleased with your team's first round selection in the NFL draft? Only the Colts, Redskins, and then because of the trade, Seattle. Didn't have anybody. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, what did Seattle get, I mean, for that switch? Did they get
the 40th, the second-round pick, which was going to be the 40th overall, and then I believe I think it was a fourth-round pick.
For this year. Okay.
So really they moved down eight spots and picked up a latter-round draft pick.
Right, yeah.
So, and what that tells me is Seattle is pretty sure whoever they were going to take at 32 is going to be there at 40. When they pick again later today.
Yeah, they're counting on, you know, and I'll tell you what, some of these teams, this is a team that's going to probably go after some athletes too. You know, Seattle will, I think they can, they're going to look at the board and go, hey, you know, because again, you know, in pro football, sometimes having a backup, like a guy that can play right guard and right tackle and left guard, you know, and he can go in there and give you some reps. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, your starters are coming out of the game, but this one guy will come in and get you some reps and keep everybody kind of fresh. Those guys are very critical, and I think people miss that a lot, you know, because we see the running backs, when they take their break, you know, everybody catches that, but we don't really notice sometimes when the offensive linemen are taking theirs.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. One other thing, and then we'll take a break and be back with Brian Munson, a Big Red Report. But last night, when the Buffalo Bills were getting ready for their selection, and they traded up, the radio analyst, which was Schlabaugh and
Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton and the guy that I...
Darinoka.
Yeah, and who was the guy that we didn't remember? Hawkins?
Yeah, we can't remember.
Something like that.
Don't know that.
Played in the pros, but yeah.
Right.
And they were all over. They were talking, well, you know, that's a great pick with Sammy Watkins, and they've got good wide receivers now, and they've got good running backs, and they may have a good quarterback in E.J. Manuel, but you got to have somebody protect this guy. And they said, these guys don't have a right tackle. They need a right tackle. Why wouldn't you go get a right tackle? They've got to address this. And so Jeff goes, I wonder who Buffalo's right tackle is.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, and the poor guy's name is Eric Pears or Pears. He's out of Colorado State. He wears number 79 for the Buffalo Bills, and he's been there a while. He's 31, so he was signed by the Broncos as an undrafted free agent, and playing with the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, that
so,
is.
So, Eric, I wonder, do you think he's even still on the roster?
Hey, you know, that is really funny that, you know, I didn't think of it quite that way. But, you know, they go, we've really got a need. And I'll tell you what, they've got the worst center in the league. You know, I mean, that's still a person. I mean, you know, we never say that about other jobs. And other. I'll tell you what, you know.
That tool. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Catch up with Brian Munson of Big Red Report after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your Weather Eye forecast powered by WeatherAllergy.com. Plenty of sunshine for today. Highs will top out near 75 degrees. We could see a few sprinkles develop late tonight. Lows drop to near 51. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 52.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. I'm body cloud nine. My head's in the sky. I'm solo. I'm riding solo. I'm riding solo.
Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday. Beautiful day in Nebraska and a beautiful day for all the graduates out there, especially the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Nebraska, in Lincoln tomorrow, and everybody else, Hastings, all the high schools that will be getting out this weekend for graduation. Congratulations. Best of luck. And it may be time to move on to college or move on to your professional life, and what you have to drive around now just isn't going to get the job done. Well, your Midway Auto Dealerships at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram South 2nd Avenue in Kearney has over 500 new and pre-owned vehicles on their lots at South 2nd Avenue, and you can see them all on that maybe iPad or computer that you got for graduation, and you can scan that at thinkmidway.com. There's a little video and a tour of each vehicle that open the doors. They show you what's in the trunk. They show you what the back seat looks like. They show you what the console looks like. They show you the engine, and it's just as good as being right there on the lot. So check it out today. Maybe use some of that graduation cash for some new transportation from your Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Do you remember graduation day, Brian?
I do. I do, man. It seems like so far ago and so long ago, but man, it was a great day. Congratulations to all the new grads out there.
Well, we were just chatting. You're a big Buffalo Bills fan. What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. I was absolutely. My brother had screamed, or had called me, and I was screaming when he called me because I saw the trade had gone through. So I was like, "It's got to be Watkins." And he said, and he was a Raiders fan, so he's right behind me, uh-huh. And he's saying, "No, no, no, if Buffalo's going to take the Buffalo kid, it's going to be Khalil Mack." And I said, "No way they go defense here." And just the Sammy Watkins pick to me. I mean, I thought Beckham was a great receiver, but the difference there between Watkins to Beckham, I thought, was still a pretty wide gap. And so very happy to see Buffalo go out there and address that need right there.
I knew, at least in my mind, I thought when Denard from Michigan State stayed on the board as long as he did, that pretty much meant that Stanley Jean-Baptiste was not going to sneak into the end of the first round last night. I know you're more focused on what's going on bringing the kids to college, but your thoughts on a couple of the Nebraska kids that could be drafted here over the weekend?
Well, I think with Baptiste, what you've got there is you've still got a guy that you have to develop a little bit. I know everybody's looking for that next Sherman type of guy. You know, you've got to frame similar to Baptiste. Baptiste doesn't have that 4.440 going for him. I think he ran in that 4.7 or 4.61 range, I think, is where it was at, which I think is totally acceptable. And you're talking now about guys that can play that nickel spot, guys that can double as a safety as well as a cornerback. You heard the guys on ESPN last night talking about it too, about how that's a growing trend, you know, with guys that can play both spots. So that to me kind of spells some good things about Baptiste. I'd be very surprised to see tonight conclude without him being part of it. Actually, I'd be very surprised to see him not as part of round two tonight. I just see there's just being so much upside, and obviously, you know, playing the position after converting from junior college as a wide receiver. So that to me, I think, is going to be big for him. I think, you know, after that, I think Spencer Long is a guy that you have to talk about a little bit. I don't think that it's helped out a bunch, you know, with the knee injury. Obviously, it never does. Jeremiah Searles is a guy that potentially could sneak his way into the end. I know Taylor Martinez is a guy that people want to ask about. I just don't see that happening, but I could see him being a priority free agent kind of guy too, because at worst, what you're talking about there is a guy that can do punt returns, can do kickoff returns, you know, potentially, you know, special teams kind of guy. And I think the guy that people are wondering about is Siante Evans. You know, where and why is Siante Evans not being talked about here after having a good career in Nebraska? I think the one thing, I mentioned this to somebody yesterday, was the play that really stands out to me about Siante Evans' career was 3 years ago against Northwestern in Lincoln, where the receivers consistently got behind him and he did not have the ability to get the speed to cover the gap to catch up with him. I think that he's kind of in that land there where, you know, you don't know where he's really going to fit at, and does he have that speed that you need at the next level. So I think he's got an uphill battle there. I don't see him potentially, you know, probably getting drafted, but probably being a pickup guy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about Siante Evans and the in the secondary. You know, you in college you can somewhat get away with making reads and reading the quarterback's eyes and, you know, that type of stuff, but in the NFL it seems to me that is not anymore. I mean, it is about running and watching your receiver and watching his outside shoulder when it dips, and I mean you've got your eye so much on what the receiver's doing instead of reading. So you, like you say, the speed and the ability to read things, it kind of goes out the wayside. Do you agree with that still or not?
I do, and I think that the film study that goes into weeks where you're going to play against a guy like that, it becomes abundantly clear guys that you can pick on when they're on the football field. And I think those guys have been long Sundays or Monday nights or Thursday nights whenever they're on the field, because they know that they're susceptible, that they can be picked on, that there's situations that they can be exposed in. And I'll guarantee you, with as many different NFL offices that are running those isolation routes, that have those big body receivers, that have guys that are tremendous route runners, that are real technicians of the game, that they can put guys like Siante Evans in very bad situations where they're going to go ahead and get exposed all night long.
Talk with Brian Munson, Big Red Report, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get to some non-draft news here for the Huskers. I guess it would be draft, but it would be the baseball draft. What's the latest on Monte Harrison?
So the latest on Monte Harrison is that, you know, a lot of the, not a lot, but there was a recent Major League Baseball draft, mock draft, I guess is what you would call it, And Harrison's name was in the first round as a Tampa Bay Devil Ray. And this is concerning, but I think that most of the data, you know, has kind of been going that way. I don't think that there's been really this hasn't been a great year, I think, for hitting in the college ranks. And I think that that causes the Major League Baseball teams to have to go out there and scour the high school ranks a little bit more. Tampa Bay has some money to spend, guys. I mean, they have got some money to throw at a guy like Harrison if he does get drafted. So that, to me, spells some pretty bad things when it comes to Nebraska's hopes in getting a guy like that to Lincoln. So if you're talking about a guy that's in that 20 range, you know, the guaranteed money that's going to be there is, and I think he can get in the multi-million dollar contract. So that to me is going to be enough for him, probably not to immediately step foot in Lincoln. That being said, a guy like Bubba Starling, you know, 2 years ago, you know, same situation comes up for Nebraska. Bubba's not doing so well, you know, when it comes to the Kansas City Royals farm system. I think he's batting below 200, you know, and there's a lot of people wondering, you know, what's it going to take for him to snap out of this thing? What's it going to take for him to realize the potential, the gift? Or when does he return back to college to pursue a football career? Those questions, I think, are only going to keep growing until one of those two things happens. He does snap out of it, starts to realize the potential, or he does go back to school. I could see him, you know, potentially being back on the market to do something like that here in the next year or so.
Brian Munson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple of other news items that we've come across here in the last 24 hours. Joe Gans will be back at Nebraska as a grad assistant, which I think will be very important to have all the help at the quarterback position, coaching-wise, that you can possibly get. How big of a deal is that?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, obviously, I think there's a great working relationship between Tim Beck and Joe Gans. And Gans, of course, is very relatable to the players that are on the football team. And I think that that helps out not just with, you know, learning that offense, running that offense, but also just the acclimation. People underestimate, you know, how out of water those guys are, particularly when you get on campus. And I think you're still talking about, you know, a guy like Johnny Stanton that's probably very comfortable in his own skin there in Lincoln now. But they got like Zach Darlington that's still trying to find his way, you know, and you've got those guys now. It's very competitive, you know, at those lower ranks. You know, a guy like Riker Fife now in there obviously could be a potential number two when the season comes around behind Armstrong, you know, and I think it's one of those things where if you can keep that consistency there on the coaching staff, you don't have to keep changing out the interfaces between those players back to the staff. I think it just helps for the overall comfort of the team, and you get the better production out of those guys then as a result.
Yeah, you know, last year, if we're really honest about the season last year, the high expectations and thinking, hey, you know, when we beat UCLA, our schedule set up for us that we can have some success, and we may not get beat again until this time. This year, we've got a couple games. What game early scares you a little bit that could put us in that same boat?
Wow. There's two of them right off the bat, I think. I mean, the trip out to Fresno isn't going to be easy. I know they're replacing a guy like Carr, but, I mean, that's a difficult trip, I think, in my mind. I think it's a test, obviously, to go out there and play, and then you come back and you play Miami. And those two games, to me, those are some real gut checks going into the conference schedule. And based on how Nebraska fares on the one on the road, going out to California, and then coming back and having a chance to go ahead and take on the Hurricanes, that alone, in my opinion, on name alone, that's just a game where when you see it on the schedule, instantly you're just pumped up to be part of it. And it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how those guys respond, particularly how they played the week before. And I think also, you know, reading in some comments about Kenny Bell and how his thoughts have been about, you know, I think obviously the fans are very much into all the prime time slots that Nebraska has this coming season. Kenny Bell, obviously over Twitter, it doesn't have that same kind of feeling towards all the games. And I think that that's putting it mildly. I think that he sees that as being a distraction. He's going to sit in a hotel all day long. He's not focused. He'd rather get up, play ball, get the business done, and then get on with the rest of the day. But obviously I think Nebraska can present, you know, a better environment there at night. I think that is one of those things, too. It's going to be key to get that geared up for the rest of the season, the multiple times it's going to happen for Nebraska, you know, when it comes to the Miami game. But it it's all going to focus on Fresno. I think Fresno is going to be a big one for Nebraska to go out there, and it's going to be a real gut check for those guys.
A couple minutes left here with Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Also, Alex Lewis, he's going to spend some time in a pokey this summer. It looks like his last appeal was denied.
Yes. I think that this is going to be it's a distraction, obviously. I mean, it's one of those things where you'd hope that he could put this thing behind him. It's clear, based on how the spring game went, where Nebraska has him slotted, that they see him as being the answer at tackle. And it's going to be very, very critical for Nebraska to go ahead and make sure that they can get this stuff behind him and get as many of the legal problems out of the way as they can during the summer, because they don't want this thing carry on into the fall. They're going to need a guy to go ahead and hang their hat on. And it's obvious that they're hanging their hat on him based on what you saw in the spring game. And it's clear, you know, he's got an attitude, he's got the frame, he's got the feet, he's athletic. You know, it's going to be one of those things where he can get better every week based on the competition he's seen across the field from with a guy like Randy Gregory's going to push him every day of practice. So they're going to have to get this thing cleared up this summer to make sure that during the fall it does not become a bigger distraction.
And other recruiting, where are we at right now?
10 recruits coming, you know, that are already in the class, which is obviously it's a huge number in comparison to years past under Bo Pelini. And I think Nebraska now is kind of at that point where you're looking at those two Big Red weekends coming up in the month of June. You know, I think you probably want to increase that number maybe two or three more spots. I think that you start talking about the class and where the class could go. The class projections could be anywhere from 16 to 18, 19 guys. So maybe you have six spots left, maybe as many as eight or nine spots left. It's one of those things that's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the season shakes out. If anybody else leaves, are there any decommitments? A guy like Kendall Bussey. Kendall Bussey is continually going to see schools and teams coming by to evaluate him. He had Arkansas and Notre Dame come by. Interesting thing about Notre Dame, doesn't have an offer from the Irish. Arkansas, been a team that we've been talking about for a long time as a team that wants him to come in for a visit still. So a guy like Kendall Bussey is going to be an interesting guy to watch. You know, there's guys like Lee and Avery Anderson, which you can go ahead and just say, they're going to be there in Lincoln in January. You know, a guy like Christian Gaylord, the same thing. But keep an eye on Bussey and see what kind of teams still come out of the woodwork for that guy as the season goes on.
Brian, anything else on the horizon we need to be paying attention to?
I think Big Red Weekend is going to be critical, guys. I think it's been a bigger influence the past 2 years for the class. Nebraska, with the junior day on February 1st, they were able to get this class pointed in a more positive direction a little bit earlier on. And now Nebraska is taking kind of hitting the brake pedal a little bit, guys. I mean, trying to slow this thing down a little bit. I think they're going to be selective. I think they're going to still go out there and make their evaluations, not necessarily based on the star ratings that people want to see, you know, when it comes to the ranking system. But they're going to try to find their guys still. They're going to be choosy, and I think it's going to be kind of a slower process. Maybe you see a little bit of a ramp up in June, but then after that, maybe you don't see anything again until October or November.
All right, buddy. Well, we won't wait that long to chat with you again, okay?
That sounds great.
Brian, hey, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy some nice weather. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the knowledge.
You guys do the same. See ya.
Take care, buddy. Brian Munson of Big Red Report with our TNL Husker Recruiting Update, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. With their TNL center pivot, there is no spoking. All you have to do is take a look at some of the GPS photos of farms and fields that have the TNL and have the electric center pivots, and you'll see that there's always an area that's missed. That is not the case with TNL. They will make sure that you're not losing any production. Recover that lost production with TNL Irrigation Systems. History has shown that the start-stop motion is also detrimental to component life, increases mechanical problems, creates more expense, downtime, and generally makes irrigating just miserable. Nobody wants that. So if you've experienced those problems, it's time to check out proven technology that works, TNL Irrigation System. Coming up, we'll be talking baseball with the head coach at Michigan State in Jake Boss Jr., and it's already started, Johnny Manziel Mania. We're back after this.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just arrange happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on, North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
The annual John McDonald Memorial four-person golf scramble is May 17th and 18th at the Kearney Country Club. Your $125 entry fee includes golf, cart, prizes, and steak dinner. You can include a practice round on Friday with a shootout that evening at 6 o'clock. The shotgun starts are Saturday at 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. with everybody going off Sunday at 10. Sign up today by calling the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 or stopping by the pro shop. The John McDonald Memorial four-person scramble May 17th and 18th at the Kearney Country Club. I just want to listen to it. Is that every once in a while? It's a great day to be happy and to jump and all kinds of things like that. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And congratulations to all of the area graduates, no matter where it is you're moving on from. Doug did a Jimmy Langan with you. And, you know, what's, you're looking for a graduation gift. Yeah, it's easy to stick a big wad of money in a card, or maybe you just got a bunch of kids. You know, I don't know how Jimmy teachers, coaches, you know, like it's like everybody that was in school sends you a graduation announcement. I don't know how you guys take care of that. But I know that everyone loves sandwiches. And Big Daly's Deli in Kearney and Hastings, just get a little gift card, gift certificate for a free combo meal. They love it. Love it. Go up there, stuff their cards with Big Daly's Deli. And customers right now, they're continuing to remodel their downtown location in Hastings. So just one store open across the street there from the Duncan Field Ballpark. Their downtown store will be closed for remodeling, and during that time, go to 610 East South Street, and to make ordering faster and easier, you can always call ahead if you're in Hastings at 402-462-2242 and pick it up at the drive-thru window. Of course, they still have catering, special orders, take care of that. They thank you for all your patronage and patience, and can't wait to see you in the brand new store when it is set to open shortly in downtown Hastings. And of course, they're rocking and rolling at the top of the hill, Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue. What's the sandwich today, Jimmy?
A number?
Yeah, what do you got for me? Home of a bazillion sandwiches. Give me something between 1 and 51.
Okay, let's go. Hey, this is going to be simple. Today's the 9th of May.
Okay. Ham and turkey combo.
There you go.
I'm going with 22 because this is great, by the way. I did look this up ahead of time, but I said, huh, Johnny Manziel was picked with the 22nd pick. That's a chicken salad. And you know what you can't make chicken salad out of. So we'll see what the Cleveland Browns do with Johnny Manziel. No, folks, there you go. There you go. Sense a lot of quietness over there from you. See how things work out in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel, 1,000 season tickets sold in the first hour after he was drafted last night as they stayed at the headquarters there in Cleveland to answer the phones until the wee hours of the morning. They're lined up already this morning. Manziel scheduled to be at the team headquarters here within the hour. The city has not had a championship since 1964, and they hope Johnny Manziel is their savior, just like Brady Quinn, just like Tim Couch, just like Bernie Kosar, just like anybody else that's ever taken a snap at Cleveland in the last 50 years. He's not going to be the savior, but he could be on a team that could be vastly improved.
Yeah, you know, when you look back at the Cleveland Browns, do you think of one player that you think, hey, that guy made a difference? Like maybe,
Jim Brown?
Yeah, Jim Brown. Yeah.
But since then?
Could you imagine the three of us
good in the 80s.
Trying to tackle him when he got a little bit of a head start? Or just play rugby, you know, just in a rugby game. That'd be really...
I'd watch him go, man, that guy's fast.
Yeah.
Go, Jim, go.
Go get him.
There you go. District soccer from yesterday, Grand Island. They win in a shootout over Papillion-La Vista South. They're headed to state. Hastings boys and girls, Holdridge boys and girls are winners of their districts. But for the first time, that doesn't send you to state. And, in fact, three of the four will be on the road for sub-state, which is played tomorrow. And for the girls, they head to Elkhorn. Holdridge is at Elkhorn South. That's at noon. Hastings is at Elkhorn High at 11 a.m. The Holdridge boys go to Schuyler, and the Hastings boys will be at home tomorrow against Scotts Bluff. And there's no wild card. If you win, you go to state in Omaha next week. If you lose, it's all over. Riley Reinertsen becomes the first four-time individual champion of the Lou Platt Conference Golf Tournament in difficult conditions yesterday, a 2-under par 70 in his 4 years on this course. At this tournament, he was 16 under over those four rounds. So a four-shot victory yesterday over Matt Hansen of St. Paul and Ashton Graham of Adams Central. Ord wins the Lou Platt as a team. That's their first Lou Platt Conference Golf Championship ever. Adams Central was second, Kearney Catholic third, then St. Paul and Centura. And what can you say about Kearney High track on the boys' side that hasn't already been said? They just won their 25th consecutive conference meet yesterday. But here's what I have to say about this, and it's just a question, and again, I'm going to be treading on the line here for some of our rules that we talk about, but the Kearney boys, supposed to be a little down this year, right? They had the long winning streak snap, so if you've won every, you know, meet for 21 years, I suppose you're a little bit down. They scored 193 points yesterday, and second was 71 by North Platte, who had like 45 kids out for football, 500 in basketball. I mean, this is not a powerhouse. What's going on? I mean, Kearney High could take their JVs and go win the GNAC Boys Conference Tournament. What's going on at these other Class A schools? Some of them are Class B, but some of them are Class A. What's going on? I mean, why does it work at Kearney? And I mean... It just doesn't even seem to be working a little bit at the rest of these GNAC schools right now. Any, from a coach and administrator standpoint, any reason that might be going on, Jimmy?
Nothing I want to share here.
See, I told you. I'm stepping on the line there just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, what Kearney does is great, but I mean, it wasn't even competitive. It wasn't even competitive yesterday. They just blew everybody out of the water. The girls, that's a lot closer. 100 for Columbus, 89 for Kearney, 85 for McCook and Norfolk, 74 for Scotts Bluff. So much more competitive along the board there. Kearney Catholic swept the Lou Platt Conference Championships yesterday. Adams Central was the runner-up for the boys. Ord was the runner-up for the girls.
Yeah, what were the scores in the Lou Platt? Like the winner and the team that got second? How close was that?
for the boys, 120 for Kearney Catholic, 98 Adams Central, 70 for Ord, 56 for Donovan Trumbull. And then for the girls, Kearney Catholic, 99, Ord, 96, Adams Central, 66.
Yeah, so, so your point's well taken there. I mean, you know, if you think about it, I mean, you've got some individuals that are doing fairly well and state leaders, in the girls in the Loup Platte more so than the boys this year, you know, with some of the times and stuff, the state. But like you say, just the competitiveness of it is well taken, and people are trying to get after it, you know, like you say. So yeah.
The highlights, I guess, yesterday, the distance runners have always been very good this last couple of years in the Loup Platte. Colin Musick, 3 medals. And again, this doesn't count the relays from yesterday, which Kearney Catholic swept, and that's why they won the boys' competition with a pretty good margin there. Fields from Ord won the 2 distance races. Then you got Evan Lindblad of Adams Central. He won both hurdles and the high jump. Jordan Hovey, this is the first time I've really got to see him do anything with track. He's with Arcadia Loup City. He won the 100. He won the 400. He was second in the 200 to Siskowski from Ravenna, who ran a great race and just clipped him. And Siskowski had 3 medals yesterday. And then the young Maddie Quist stepped up yesterday and won the distance races, 800, 1600, 3200 from Donovan Trumbull. Congratulations. And then Paige Herbert from Kearney Catholic does what she does, wins the long jump, wins the triple jump. She's second in the 100 and 200 right behind Jessica Rauert of Wood River. So districts next week, that's when all the money's in the middle, and trying to get to Omaha in a couple of weeks. Tennis, Central Catholic won the McCook invite, followed by Kearney Catholic, Hastings, Lexington, and Adams Central. And Kearney beat Lincoln Southeast and Lincoln Northeast in tennis. Yesterday, the Nebraska softball team will play this afternoon at 1:30 in the Big Ten tournament against Ohio State. The game will be shown on the Big Ten Network. We told you about Nebraska, Michigan State, and we'll be talking with their head coach here in our last segment, Jake Boss Jr. 2:05 Saturday, and then at noon Sunday and Monday, the games are on 12:30 KHAS. This is a Michigan State team that likes to steal some bases, and they lost to Illinois last week on the road, 3 one-run games in which they had the lead in each of those, one of them in extra innings. That would upset my stomach a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Are you enjoying watching the Royals this year, the Kansas City Royals? Have you got any upset stomachs on any of those save opportunities?
It is a little disheartening. Yeah. I thought they'd be better than this. They can't go out and just score a bunch of runs. They put 8 on the board and thumped the Padres the other day, but they don't do that consistently enough. If you get good pitching performances, which they've gotten more times than not, you got to help them out. And that seems to be what I'm seeing right now. You know, I've seen about portions of maybe a third of their game so far this year.
Well, the Detroit,
and Gordon needs to start hitting the damn ball. I mean, he's out of the gate slow again this year.
Yeah, they're talking about Bubba. You know, bat less than 200. He kind of fits right in with the whole program. And you know,
he'll be called up soon.
Well, you know, and the other thing, defense. If their catcher wasn't back there, I mean, we could have 2 or 3 more losses because he's thrown out all
Salvi Perez,
yeah, okay. Has thrown out all kinds of base runners. He's having a really good defensive year. But like you said, Moustakas at one time was like 0-for-21, and I think our catcher, like I said, I think he had a stretch there. He was about 0-for-25, you know, didn't have a hit. So yeah, the Royals are really frustrating to watch. And not only that, Detroit Tigers came in and absolutely it was the men versus the boys there.
Yeah, they showed who was going to win that division this year. A couple of other sports notes before we take a break here. The USHL Clark Cup Finals begins tonight, and you know, just those things that I feel I need to comment on. Indiana's playing Waterloo. It was announced last week that Indiana will not be playing in the league next year. What a travesty when you've got a program that's at the top of their game, and then all of a sudden they'll probably never be in existence again after this year. And the next thing is, how many hockey games, was it 64 they jumped it up to in the regular season this year? The Clark Cup final is a best of 5. You play all year for a best of 5? Really? Really? Wow. Okay. And in Omaha, there is live racing. Now that Fauna Park is done, they have moved it up the last couple of years at Horseman's Park. Of course, they have to have live racing so that they can have their simulcasting. It starts tonight at 6, Saturday and Sunday at 2. It was bad timing, Jimmy. It was a hit in the middle of the summer when you could wear shorts and just go party and watch the horse races and bring out Omaha and people from all over the Midwest. And now, with everything that's going on, I mean, I think they'll still have some crowds, but it doesn't have the buzz. Can you believe they've been doing this for 17 years?
You know what's really weird? What a dumb rule. I mean, to have simulcast, you got to have a live meet. So what's that mean? You throw out 6 Shetland ponies and let them run a couple times, put somebody on top of them, you know, and let them run. And that's not what they're doing. They're trying to have good races and stakes races, and they've got some nice races. So, I mean, but what I'm saying is, you know, when can you just say, hey, you know what? There's some people in Omaha that like horses, and they like to bet on them, and they really don't have a live meet. But is it okay if they bet a little bit of money and keep the industry going?
Because Horseman's Park is 60 blocks away from Omaha.
Yeah.
God had the culture changes in that 60 blocks. Today, the $30,000 Falls Amiss handicap, a field of 6. The card will include 2 $30,000 features Saturday, the Fantango Lady Stakes and the Skunk Tail Stakes, named after some famous horses. And then, of course, the Sunday, it's the $30,000 Who Doctor Who handicap. Diamond Joe will be in that field of 8. And Jimmy, I know that this will change your weekend plans, because not only is there horse racing, but for the second straight year, Saturday, there will also be live camel and ostrich races.
At
Horseman's.
They're going to put some ostriches and some camels out there,
different
too.
Different races, but yes, there will be a camel races and ostrich races. What do you think?
I'm going to go try to get, if you can wager on those things, I think I'm going to go right to the jockey wives and say, who do you like?
And boxing back to Omaha yesterday was the press conference for Terrence Bud Crawford, the lightweight champion. Next month, Yuri Okus, I know I already screwed that, at Gamboa, who is also 23-0, that fight coming up next month in Omaha, the first title fight since Joe Frazier won it in 1972. Who'd he beat?
Don't tell me. Ron Standard?
We'll be back with more. You're amazing.
Thank you.
I thought there was no way. You have just taken it up another level. You've taken it up, I don't know how many notches. You are close to the top. Did you read that this morning, or did that not?
No, but I in the Preakness Stakes, you were talking about the Preakness Stakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked about John Lively, and the horse he rode, it was Elocutionist, but BBB won it the year before Secretariat did. Again, Secretariat's got the track record for the Preakness, but would beat California Chrome by 17 lengths there, too.
See, once again, if there's ever a time that you have to use a lifeline on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Jimmy, you're going to have to be in the big conference room when somebody calls.
You know,
you may just know the answer to something like that.
Well, I might know. I know a little bit about that stuff, but I'll tell you what. When it comes into the ACT test score, mine wasn't that high, Doug.
Jake Boss Jr. going to join us, Michigan State baseball coach, after this.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
In this risky market, does your farm have the protection it needs? Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company is committed to providing the American farmer with complete farm insurance solutions for every operation. Their wide selection of crop, property, auto, and liability products will help manage risk and keep you protected. Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Minden, Roseland, and Hastings can help you determine the products that best fit your needs. Call Kroll Agency for complete risk management coverage, customized solutions, and superior service. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Plan now to take the next step in your education. Don't delay. Start this summer at Central Community College. Classes start May 27th with additional sessions starting in June and July. Take classes online, on campus, or in your community. Get a great start on a bachelor's degree through CCC's Academic Transfer Program. Or take classes in some of today's hottest employment areas through one of CCC's career and technical programs. Call 877-222-0780 or log on to cccneb.edu. Sign up for summer at Central Community College. Registration begins April 11th.
The Barn Candle Company candles are offered in 96 captivating fragrances. The essence of a delicate spring garden, the alluring blend of an ocean breeze, the simplicity and spice of the holidays, and even the wholesome aroma of freshly baked cakes and cookies are sensory experiences that charm us and reawaken pleasant memories. The Barn Candle Company discounted gift certificates are at shopwheelerdealer.com, and the savings start at a third off retail and work their way down with special offers and deals. Deals of the day.
Saturday, the NBA on ESPN Radio heads to Brooklyn. In round one, the Heat swept their way to victory while the Brooklyn Nets were stretched to the limit with a Game 7 win against the Raptors.
Bounces to James, cocks it back, and rocks.
Now they go head-to-head in round two. While the Nets dominated the Heat during the regular season, this is the postseason, and it's been nothing short of unpredictable.
The Nets and Heat, Saturday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on this Friday Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk with Michigan State coach Jake Boss Jr. here in just a moment. Brent chimes in on the Dent Popper inbox, Jimmy. He goes, really, Doug, comparing chicken salad to Johnny Football? If Johnny is half as amazing as the Big Dally's chicken salad. Okay, I'm getting the abbreviation. Thanks for that, Jeff. You the man. You saved me there. He will win the Rookie of the Year. Sorry, but the Cowgirls are messing up again. Until Papa Jerry gets his paws out of the team and is just an owner and lets smart people run the daily operations, I'm afraid I'll have to hear you whine and whine, which isn't so bad. You boys have a great weekend. Brent. Thanks, Brent.
He was mad at you because you kind of made fun of Johnny Manziel, or did you think a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, just, you know.
Disagreed with you. Disagreed.
That goes over better on the national scene, I would think. Compared him to. I think that's, people are either, there's not a lot of middle ground with Johnny Manziel.
None.
You're either all over him, John Gruden, or you don't like him at all.
Yeah, and you know what? I've kind of, for some reason, I kind of feel that way about myself, how people pin on me, that you like me or you know, there's not a lot of middle ground here.
You know what's not chicken salad?
What is?
The great food at Troutman's.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Troutman's food. That'll get me ready to go.
They are your only licensed USDA beef retailer where meat is aged a minimum of 30 days for consistent quality every time and peak flavor and tenderness. And fresh from the smokehouse of this very day, hickory smoked maple cured bacon. Also
get, get a couple of those $25 gift certificates we get away. The three of us to grab that. Let's take $75 over there now.
We'll just have some bacon.
All right.
You can also, for the folks that smoke it themselves, Troutman's has the ribs, the briskets, and pork butts. Carrie wants to congratulate all the graduates and wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day, which is, of course, coming up this Sunday. If you still need help, Troutman's has your graduation party needs, including pulled pork, baked beans. Also, Troutman's gift cards make the perfect gift. So many ways to make Mother's Day and graduation and any occasion better. Troutman's quality meats, and I guess this is as good a time as any to say thanks to Carrie and the gang for all their continued success and support of Doug and Daddy, and we love what they're doing over there, and you will too. And happy Mother's Day to my mom, who will be celebrating this weekend.
Yeah, my mom listens to the show a little more regularly when I'm on, Doug. But,
Hi, Jimmy's mom.
Yeah. Could you wish her a Mother's Happy Mother's Day? Would you do that? All right.
I wish Jimmy's mom a Happy Mother's Day.
There we go. Good deal.
What's Jimmy's mom's name?
Carly.
Carly. Happy birthday, or Happy Mother's Day, Carly.
Yeah.
And my mother, Ruth, I wish her a happy birthday. Sometimes she says the radio signal doesn't come in as strong from day to day up there in the grand city of Ord. So we wish her a happy Mother's Day as well. And for whoever it is in your life, make sure that you take care of them on Sunday. Saturday baseball this weekend for the Nebraska baseball team instead of a Friday start because it is finals week, and Nebraska playing Michigan State in a Big Ten series for the first time, and we've had that a couple of times so far this season. And our Big Ten baseball preview this week continues with Michigan State head coach Jake Boss Jr. joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are things up in East Lansing?
Morning, Doug. Thanks for having me. Things are good up here. We finished finals a week ago, and had a pretty good, busy week. We played a couple midweek games and had a couple good practices. So, things are good. It's a fun time of year.
Take me through, because it is finals week for Nebraska, and how is that week different than every other week on campus and trying to keep your team prepared?
Well, you know, it's not easy, and, you know, I'm not quite sure how things work there in Lincoln, but I can tell you for us, you know, we give our guys 2 days off. Monday and Tuesday is an off day. And then Wednesday of that week is, you know, this past week we had a split squad type of practice because, had a lot of exams on Wednesday. And then for us, you know, Thursday was a travel day. So we got a little bit of work in on Wednesday last week. And then we got on a bus and left for Illinois early and got a good practice in at, in Champaign on Thursday night. But it's, you know, it's a tough week. Guys are obviously extremely busy with classes and wrapping things up with the end of the semester. And so baseball takes a back seat for a couple days. And you know, for us, it was good to get out and, you know, see some live pitching before just in practice before we got out to Illinois and played there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's certainly a challenge, but you know, these guys are used to that type of stuff. The returning guys have all gone through it before, and they help the freshmen out too. So it's you know, it's doable, but it's not easy.
Chat with Michigan State baseball coach Jake Boss Jr. in his sixth year with the Spartans here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And speaking of Illinois, after the way that series went, when were you able to finally eat a meal after Sunday? I would have been upset with my stomach for a long time.
Yeah, yesterday, Doug. yesterday is probably the first one. It was a tough weekend for us. There's no doubt. You know, losing three games is tough. Losing three one-run games is even more difficult. And then, you know, the opportunity to win all three games late. I think we had the lead in all three of them late, and end up giving it up. And so it was a difficult weekend to be sure. You know, the good thing, you know, we talk about around here is that, you know, thankfully, it's not like football where you have to sit on it all week. And, you know, we got to get out and compete again on Tuesday and to, you know, take some of that aggression out, get it out of our system Tuesday and Wednesday. So, you know, a little bit easier to put it behind you. But, you know, we had plenty of opportunities at Illinois and didn't get it done. And some of that was us and some of that was Illinois. So, you know, you have to give them a lot of credit for putting themselves into situations where they can win, and they executed better than we did.
Coach, on paper, which is not where the game's played, we all know, this is a pretty good baseball team that you guys have. What has been lacking in these close games for you? I mean, you're kind of in a situation where you're 8-10 in conference and could easily have 4 or 5 more wins this season. What's been the one thing that's been lacking, do you think?
Well, there's been some, you know, we've had a problem with consistency really all year, and that's been very frustrating. You know, I think, and in all three phases, I mean, our pitching has been the best part of what we've done, I think, all year long, and probably been the most consistent. But, you know, offensively, defensively, it's been a bit of a struggle for us, one day to the next. And, you know, that's not typical of what our clubs have been here. Over the last couple of years, you know, we've always pitched it well. I think we've always played very good defense, and offensively, you know, we've had some guys that have really swung it well. And just for whatever reason this year, it's been a struggle. I don't know. I think early, you know, I'm not a big excuse guy, Doug, but I think early the weather did play a little bit of a factor in that.
Sure.
Now that's certainly not an excuse anymore, but early on, there was no question that, you know, after playing for, you know, an entire weekend and then coming back inside to practice is difficult. We had to move a home series, and that's difficult. And so, you know, that was that played a bit of a role into it early, and I think it's just been a hard go for us trying to get out of that funk. And, you know, the clock is ticking now. I mean, we're down to our last 7 games, and, you know, so hopefully we've got a lot of that out of our system, so, you know, we can finish strong here.
talking with Michigan State baseball coach Jake Voss Jr. here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's start with the pitching rotation. You guys have the second best ERA in the conference right now. And, of course, I think the team that's number one is Indiana and leading this league. And you've got a good rotation, solid setup here. Take me through the weekend.
Yeah, those guys, Doug, have thrown very well for us all year long. Mick Van Vossen is our Friday guy. He's a junior right-hander. You know, his velocity is okay. It's probably not what makes him so effective, though. I mean, he'll pitch, you know, anywhere from probably 88 to 91, but, you know, ball moves all over the place. He's got a good breaking ball. His changeup is a good pitch as well. And, you know, he's been able to get deep into games for us, which is really, you know, helped obviously our bullpen. He'll go Friday for us. We have a sophomore going Saturday in Justin Allman, who's a 13th rounder out of high school with the Royals, and very talented young man, still kind of learning how to pitch, but he's able to get away with some mistakes because of his ability level. And he's got a bright future ahead of him in this game. And kind of the surprise for the year for us is a redshirt freshman named Cam View, who will go on Sunday for us. You know, big, tall, lanky left-hander who is really kind of come out of nowhere for us. We, you know, he had a great summer last year, and we expected him to be a pretty significant guy coming out of our bullpen. And we had a need early on after about the first four or five weekends. We had a need for a Sunday guy, and we threw him in there at Ohio State, and he really handled himself well. And you know, he's pitched extremely well ever since. And you know, he's another guy that you know, he's got a perfect starter mentality. I mean, I think he wants the ball. He's three pitches for strikes, and really is able to you know, work quickly and be very effective. And so you know, he's another guy. All three of those guys have gotten deep into the game for us, which has been you know, outstanding for our bullpen. And you know, the bullpen has been very good also. It's you know, a couple freshmen coming out of the pen, and right-hander Jake Lowry and left-hander Joe Mockby. And then our closer is Jeff Kinley, who was on pace to be a pretty high draft, I think, a year ago, and then developed a blood clot in his non-throwing shoulder. And it's a pretty scary situation, Doug, to be honest. And, you know, we shut him down. He ended up having surgery in his non-throwing shoulder to remove that blood clot and got a medical redshirt for him. So he's a redshirt junior this year and is still kind of finding his way back. He's not where he was a year ago, but, you know, he's a guy that's thrown a lot of innings for us and had a lot of appearances. So, you know, we like the ball in his hands, there's no doubt.
Well, every once in a while, no matter what the sport is, sometimes I guess you get an eye-opener that tells you, hey, there's more than baseball. So it's great that Jeff's bouncing back there with 9 saves and pretty good-looking pitcher so far for you this year. So glad to hear that. Let's flip it over to the offense here for you. You had a couple of outfielders that had some preseason accolades in Jimmy Pickens and Cam Gibson, and it looks like they're living up to the hype.
You know, they really are, Doug. I think even just as of the last couple of weeks, I've really started to find a bit of a comfort zone here where it was a struggle, I think, again, early for all of us, especially offensively. But, you know, I think these guys are starting to hit their stride a little bit, and Cam is a pretty exciting player to watch. You know, he's a guy that I think leads our team in walks. He's a guy that is able to get on base and make things happen. He goes first to third extremely well. He's becoming a better base runner every, you know, it seems like every game he plays, he gets a little bit better. And he's just very raw, very athletic. And you know, he's got a chance to be a good one. And Jimmy Pickens is, you know, probably, you know, between him and Blaise Salter, those are the guys that are in the middle of the order and they kind of, you know, make us go. And you know, we need to have those guys, having good at-bats and hitting balls hard in order for us to be successful, it seems. And you know, everybody kind of feeds off of those two guys in the middle of the order, as it is with most ball clubs. And so, you know, both guys are swinging the bat, you know, very well. Jimmy is really becoming a pretty complete player now with, you know, offensively. Sprays ball all over the park. He's able to hit for power. He steals bases. You know, he's able to get deep into counts and walks. He strikes out a little bit, you know, probably too much. But at the same time, you know, with some power guys, that can happen, I guess. So, yeah, very pleased with the year that those guys are having.
Man, last minute here with Michigan State head baseball coach Jake Voss Jr. on the Doug and Daddy Show. Series gets underway tomorrow at 2:05. last week we brought it up with Penn State Coach Cooper. They like to steal a few bases. You guys like to do it more than anybody else in the conference. And with Nebraska's situation at catcher, it's even worse than it was a week ago with more injuries. I'm sure you're aware of that. What makes you so successful on the base paths?
Well, you know, guys have really bought in, I think, to our philosophy and you know, that started really kind of when we got here and when Coach Sykes, you know, our hitting coach and a guy that kind of oversees our base running when he got here, you know, kind of added to that. And, you know, again, guys really bought into the fact that we need to be aggressive if we're going to, you know, if we're going to win baseball games. And we, you know, our philosophy's always been to try to force the other team's hand and make plays against us. And, you know, again, it's guys have bought into it. They enjoy it. They enjoy putting that, you know, pressure on other ball clubs, and they're not fazed if we get thrown out of, you know, occasionally, understanding that that's going to happen. And so, yeah, but you can't teach fast. And we've got some guys that are fast. You know, Gibson runs very well. Checky runs very well. Jimmy Pickens runs good enough, but is really tough into a good base runner. And so, you know, that's it's a staple of what we do. And, you know, we're going to try to continue to do it.
Coach, do you just go first pitch? I mean, if Nebraska has to throw out a third-string catcher that got his first collegiate start last week in McGill, I mean, does that even change your aggressiveness to another level?
No, not necessarily. You know, I mean, I think we still try to be smart about what we're doing, and we try to pay attention to the game and the situation and you know, kind of what we're given. You know, obviously, well-coached ball clubs are able to use their pitching staff to shut down the running game with you know, quick delivery times and mixing up their looks and their picks and you know, varying, you know, tempo and things like that. So there's a lot of different ways to hold runners, you know, and our job is to really kind of figure out how that's being done to us. And it's certainly not only the catcher. Obviously, the catcher plays a big role in it, but, you know, if you got a guy that's slow to the plate, it doesn't matter who you got back there, you're going to be able to steal bases. And so, you know, it's a combination of a lot of different things. And you know, we try to take what we're given and pick the right spot.
Well, I think it might be another Tums weekend for both coaching staffs as we get ready for a great series with Nebraska and Michigan State. Coach, great chat. Really appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Continued success the rest of the way.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate the time.
You bet, Coach. Thank you so much. Jake Bosch, Jr., head coach, Michigan State. Crucial weekend. Sometimes that gets overused. Michigan State is better than their record right now. They were picked fourth in the preseason. They've got some kids that can bang the ball. We don't know what the situation is at catcher. In fact, they're actually put Tanner Lubach, Taylor Fish, and Quinn McGill all on the probable starting list this week. I don't think Lubach is ready to come back yet. They thought this was as soon as he could actually even start doing anything. The hamstring on Fish, and then you put McGill in there against a team that likes to steal. Pitching is going to have to be very crisp on the road this weekend for the Huskers.
Yeah, and he, you know, like you say, sometimes if the catcher's not, and I have no idea, I can't even really, I just know he's not starting in front of these other two guys for a reason, you know what I mean? But if he's good at keeping base runners close and the pitchers are doing a good job of keeping the base runner, that will help the catcher out. You know, I mean, a couple pickoff throws over there and keep things kind of close, because if they a walk, then turns into a double. You know what I mean? So, yeah, those are the things that get you beat in close games. And like you said, this is kind of an important series. And I think Nebraska is going to get in the NCAAs. I mean, I think that's going to happen. But right now, it's what number you are. I mean, you know, right now Nebraska could anywhere from about a 2 to a 4. You know, on where they end up, you know, they could be a 2 seed all the way to a 4 seed. And when you're a 2 seed, you know, you got a chance. You know what I mean? It seems to me that, but I don't know how you feel, Doug. Do you think they're probably going to get in the tournament this year?
I think this is the weekend that's going to tell us.
Okay.
I really do. Plus, Illinois still on the schedule for the Big Red coming in next weekend, and they'll probably be either still tied for second or second and third. As of today, I would not say that Nebraska, if it was today, Nebraska's in. But these final games, and Coach Erstad told us a couple of weeks ago when we had him on, when we started the second half of the season in the conference, what the number was they had in mind all along. They needed to go 10-4 or 11-3, something like that, and they're on pace to do that. But this is a crucial weekend. They've got to get 2 at Michigan State. I mean, they're in that mindset of winning them all, but they got to get 2, and I think that's going to be tough. at Michigan State this weekend, because if they go 1-2, and they can't go on 3, but if they go 1-2, then they kind of have to put themselves in a position to really get them all next weekend. So we will find out what happens over the weekend. You can catch the games 12:30 KHS. In fact, you know, Monday they'll still have a game to play, so we'll get to talk about it a little bit here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And also on Monday, we've got a chance to give away a family four-pack of tickets to Tuesday night's Nebraska-Creighton game. So we'll be talking about that throughout the weekend. But don't forget, Monday we'll be giving away, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a four-pack of tickets to the game at TD Ameritrade Park. This is the game that was rained out a couple of weeks ago, and it's being made up Tuesday night. And we'll have that family four-pack of tickets. They're great tickets in the lower section for Nebraska-Creighton on Tuesday night. And we'll be giving those away on Monday's show, recapping the weekend in sports, seeing where all the Huskers went in the draft, and hopefully it's more than just one. We'll also say thank you to the fine folks that joined us today on the show, Michigan State baseball coach Jake Boss Jr., along with Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Don't forget more area sports on Hail Varsity every weekday afternoon at 4 here on ESPN Radio. Jimmy, have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Yep, Doug, take you too.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.